So I'll be sharing a devotion from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When we think of warfare in biblical times, what comes to mind will be chariots, swords, spears, armors, and soldiers. However, in modern times, warfare is associated with advanced weapons, bombs, long-range missiles, tanks, fighter jets, drones, and advanced air defense systems. Nuclear weapons with potential to annihilate thousands and cause long-lasting damage is also dreaded by all. War causes countless loss of lives, utter destruction, and is associated with pain and sorrow. Read of ongoing war daily in the papers between Israel and Gaza, Russia and Ukraine. We pray that we will never come close to seeing war. War is frightening and painful. We do not want war, but we need to be prepared for war and be ready to defend ourselves against any aggressor. If we are not ready for war or prepared to fight or defend ourselves, we will be easy target for the enemy to devour us. We may not be involved in physical warfare, but we face spiritual battle daily, as did the believers in Ephesus more than 2,000 years ago. As we face the same enemy, we must be ready for battle. In Ephesians, we have seen how the battle is already won. Christ has defeated our foe, and we have the ultimate victory. However, there is still a battle going on. We must put on Christ and his armor. Christ has defeated sin and death. We are not involved in physical battle. However, a real and unseen battle is taking place daily. Examples of spiritual battle include battle against temptation, doubts, despair, pride, conflicts, opposition to our faith, and obstacles to spiritual growth. There's war taking place that is greater than flesh and blood. It is between God and the devil, the forces of light and darkness. We must be encouraged and convicted to put on the whole armor of God and to rely on the Lord's strength. Stand firm against the devil's schemes and be constantly in prayer. How then can we be ready for battle? Firstly, we must be aware of the battle. Martin Lloyd-Jones said regarding the message from Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, there's a stirring call to battle. Do you not hear the bugle and trumpet? We are being roused and being stimulated. We are being set upon our feet. The tone is strong. The peace of Christ's cross is to be experienced only in the midst of a relentless struggle against evil. We are in the midst of war, and we desperately need the strength of the Lord and armor of God if we are to survive. The first step comes in being aware of the battle. We see in Ephesians that Paul states that we have an enemy. A thorough knowledge of the enemy and a healthy respect for his powers are necessary to victory in war. We cannot underestimate our spiritual enemy, because if we do, then we can easily view God's armor as unnecessary, and we will go off to war unarmed and be defeated immediately. The devil is out there and he is strong. He is powerful. We are told that our war is against the principalities and powers of the present darkness. The devil is the ruler of this world. Even though the cross has defeated these powers, we have not surrendered to this point. We must go into battle knowing that we are victorious through Christ and that we fight with his armor in this battle. On our own effort, we will be easily defeated because the devil is powerful. We try very often to fight this battle on our own because we forget how formidable our enemy is. Only the power of God can defend and deliver us from an evil one. The principalities and powers are strong, but God is stronger. These evil powers are still working today, but they were defeated at the cross. Paul urges us to draw upon the power, might, and strength of the Lord. The power that we need to fight against this foe is not our strength, discipline, perseverance, friends, or works. It is the power of Christ. Paul is telling these believers to rely on the resurrecting power of Christ to go to war. Some Christians think that they can manage themselves with the Lord without the Lord's strength or armor, while others think that they cannot help out in this fight at all, or that the fight is over. The power is the Lord's, and we are to be strong in it and be strengthened by it. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit, and we are given the armor of God to stand strong against the fiery darts of the devil. But we know that we are not fighting alone, because we are fighting with the strength of the Lord. we must realize that we are supposed to fight and that there is war being waged around us. This is the first step. The second step is to be prepared with God's armor. We see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 17, in the words of the Puritan minister William Gunnell, "In heaven we shall appear not in armor, but in robes of glory. But here armor is to be worn night and day. We must walk, work, and sleep in them. We need to fight the spiritual battle as a soldier of Christ, though the warfare has been won at the cross. Every one of us, regardless of our stations in life, must take responsibility as soldier of Christ to fight the spiritual battle alongside one another. In Isaiah 59:17, it says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak." We see that the same armor that God wears is the same armor that we should wear in a battle. Armor refers to the Christian graces that are available to the believer for repelling the temptations and strategies of Satan. If we fail to put on the whole armor of God, we will be exposed to the assaults of the devil. We will be hindered from enjoying the spiritual blessings that God has given us. We become joyless and doubtful and be easily tempted to bring dishonor and shame to the name of the Lord. There are six elements in the armor of God. Firstly, the belt of truth. The belt is a very important equipment that binds the rest of the armor together. Similarly, the belt of truth holds other parts of the spiritual armor together. We put on the belt of truth when we read God's word, listen to the word preached diligently, and obey the truth of God's word. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate in Roman times often covered both the front and back of the soldier, and was a major piece of protection of his vital organs. It protects our heart against the arrows of satanic accusation and condemnation. Breastplate of righteousness has two parts. The first part is Christ's imputed righteousness through justification. We can rest upon the righteousness of Christ and acknowledge that we are accepted not because of how good we are, but on his righteousness. Second is that of imparted righteousness through regeneration and sanctification. We should work out our salvation with fear and trembling by seeking to walk in holiness and making use of the means of grace. Third will be the shoes of gospel of peace. The shoes represent the preparation of readiness of the gospel of peace. The readiness to engage in spiritual battle with the gospel of peace and to do so with its power and purpose. Satan hates the good news about Christ's blood and the forgiveness it purchased. He hates to see sinners reconciled to God and to one another in the church. The gospel is literally good news. Paul is telling us that we should be ready to run with the good news, to publish peace that comes with salvation. Next, the shield of faith. The shield of faith is not just a tiny 12-inch circle, but rather a long shield that could protect an entire person. We have a shield of faith to protect ourselves from the fiery darts of the evil one. The fiery darts of the wicked are temptations and wicked suggestions to sin against God. The shield of faith is founded upon knowledge, biblical knowledge, and knowledge of the character, law, and promises of God. We can build our faith by taking effort to read, hear, and learn the word of God. Next will be the helmet of salvation, which is the fifth piece of armor. The helmet of salvation protects our minds in regards to our salvation. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of love, faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." This suggests that the spiritual helmet is the hope or assurance of our salvation. The devil can make us doubt our salvation. He can convince us that we are not loved of God and meaningless for us to fight the spiritual battle and to give our life to a life of unbelief, willingness, and sin. To put on and maintain the helmet of salvation, we must use the various means of grace, examine our faith, and seek God's grace to overcome temptation, seek mutual encouragement and admonition through godly fellowship. Lastly, that is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The sword is the only piece of armor that can be used directly for offensive purposes. It is also used for defense. The Spirit is what makes the sword dangerous. It's the Spirit's sword. We've seen in Scripture the examples of the word being used as a defensive weapon. We defend our actions or beliefs by telling others what Scripture says. It is also an offensive weapon as we declare Jesus to be king to the world around us. We are declaring war against the forces of this world with that statement. We can use the sword to resist temptation as Jesus did to Satan in the wilderness, and to use it for evangelism as we fulfill the Great Commission. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We must not be ashamed of to use the word sword offensively, because that is what it was designed for. Just as a Roman soldier would not dare to go into battle without his sword, we cannot enter the spiritual battlefield without the living, breathing word of God. Some of these descriptions may not seem like spiritual warfare, because they seem so everyday. However, spiritual warfare is often take place in the mundane details of life. It is not easy to confess sin. And obedience is challenging. It takes courage to evangelize. Forgiving another who has wronged you is difficult, and we are often distracted when praying. Third, we need to be devoted to prayer. We need to stand firm against the devil's schemes through prayer. Prayer might not be a piece of the armor, but it is essential in battle. Prayer is the means by which we call up to God during the battle. We should pray with boldness, and we should pray at all times. All of our lives should be lived in prayer. We should pray persistently for the lost around us and for our church family, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, which says to pray without ceasing. We should also pray in boldness. We should pray for others as they share the gospel on the front lines, even as some of our church members go for street evangelism or go door-to-door for evangelism. We should pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ to be filled with the Spirit and to boldly proclaim the gospel message. Evangelism is spiritual warfare. We need prayer warriors to be uplifting one another in prayer as we proclaim the gospel truth. We need to do this without ceasing, knowing ultimately that God is in control. Finally, we should put on the whole armor of God on a daily basis and seek first the kingdom of God as we face a formidable foe. We are reminded that we are in a spiritual battle, and as believers, we can experience the saving grace of God. We need to turn from our sins and place our faith and trust in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote the letter of Ephesians while he was in prison, yet what concerned him most was not about his incarceration, but rather that the gospel might be spread freely and without hindrance. This is what Paul is praying for and what he asked the Ephesian believers to pray for as well. In all things, we need to pray and put on the full armor of God and to be ready to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ and to live out the truth. We must be ready for battle. Shall we have a word of prayer? Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your word to remind us that we are in spiritual battle. Even though sometimes we may not feel it, definitely the mundane challenges that we feel in life is spiritual battle. We pray, Lord, that you help us to be aware and also be equipped with your armor of God, that we may be able to fight against the spiritual battle. We also pray, Lord, that you will help us to be prayerful and continue to be with us even as we continue in the season of prayer. All these are prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.